My chains are gone. I have been set free. There is no greater feeling than knowing that you are no longer bound by your sin. You are no longer bound by your iniquity. You are no longer bound by your guilt. That the sense of freedom is the greatest thing that a person can feel. Why I'm at where I'm at. I want to know what happened in between. I want to know. When it comes to awakening, people want to will need to accept it easily. They don't want, you know, the whole mumbo jumbo, you know, theological terms that some people really don't even understand. They want to know what Jesus did for them. They want to know what position they find themselves in Jesus. And they want to know what comes with salvation. And that's what I said, Lord, take me back to that place. Take me back to the beginnings. I guess when you're a teacher, you call it a refresher. You learn certain things and then you don't go back to them within a couple of months and then you tend to forget. And then the teacher said, you know what? We need a refresher to get you back to what we taught you. And I said, God, I need that in my life. Show me, bring me back to the time, to the place, to where I was at, where I first learned what faith was, where I first learned what my first love was, when I first learned what salvation meant to me. So we're just going to take a journey, somewhat of a theological journey, but I'm going to keep it as simple as I possibly can. So if you can open up your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible, if not the most favorite. I mean, you can't have a favorite book in the Bible. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? But it's like every time that I open my Bible, I come to this and I read and I almost know it by heart. So let's open up to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading just a little bit, so don't get bored with me again. Don't shut me out. But I'm reading out of the NASB. When you say it, just say amen so I can know you're with me. For this reason, verse 15, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. How many of you want that? I want that. I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I'm almost done, I promise. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us together alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as Paul said, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, in the knowledge of you. I pray that you may open up our hearts and our ears, Lord, and our spiritual eyes to refresh us, Lord, of what you have done for us, Jesus, that we may be able to accept it openly, Father. And when we accept it, God, be able to share it with others, Lord, in an effective manner. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I know that that's a lot. I struggle with putting titles on messages and I really don't care for that. But in my preaching classes, when I was in Bible college, I always said, Brandon, you got to put a title in your message so people can remember it. Listen, as long as I remember the word, that's all that matters. But if I'm going to put a title on this message, I want to call it Bringing Power Back to Pentecost. That's what I want to call it. One thing that I always had struggling when I first got to this area was, you know, I'm Pentecostal. I'm a tongue talker. You know, I'm baptizing the Holy Ghost. I love Jesus, you know, but people tend to forget what the purpose of Pentecost was. You know, people, when Jesus said, when Jesus told them in Luke, he said, you know what? He's like, tarry in Jerusalem. He didn't say until you speak in tongues. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive what? Power. Power from on high. And as I read these scriptures, it gives me an identity in Jesus Christ. And I think that if the enemy can take your identity, he can take your power. And that's the way that it is. So I said, God, how did I get from being, in my opinion, the scum of the earth to being seated in heavenly places? I said, Lord, show me, remind me how that happened. And he said, Brandon, basically it's all about identity. That's basically your name. Your name is what identifies you. My name is Brandon. That's Jill. Our name tells us who we are. And we have our identity in Jesus Christ. Amen. So I said, God, what happened after salvation? Because God knows, as the Bible says here in Ephesians, God was rich in his mercy because of his great love, which by he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. And it says, by grace, you have been saved. And it's not nothing hard to accept. It's nothing, you know, salvation happened to us, and people tend not to grasp it easily because it just doesn't make sense. That after I've done what I've done, I've walked the way that I've walked, it's hard to comprehend that one man died and gave his best for me. He gave his life for me. That's what he did. He said, you know what? He justified me. That's one of the first things that the Lord showed me. Justification by faith. What does that mean? Justification means just like I didn't do it. That's the greatest thing that I have ever heard in my life. If I were standing in court at this moment, and I had people blaming me saying, you did it. Jesus Christ is our advocate. And he walks into the courtroom and he says, my blood was sufficient for your sins. And my blood works in such an amazing way that I'm about to erase everything you did just as you didn't do it. Even though I know you did it, even though you deserve the penalty, God, his wrath was against, we were strange to God. And the children of disobedience, he was wrathful against them. But because of the blood of Jesus, which the theological term is propitiation, is a big word, but basically means the sacrifice that was enough. Because of the blood of Jesus, I'm made right in the eyes of God. Justification basically means God's act of removing the guilt and the penalty of sin, while at the same time declaring a sinner righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. We didn't deserve that. And the guilt that we did something wrong, the guilt that something should have caused me to die, is removed because of justification through faith. How easy is that to comprehend? Because in this world, it's this for that. You want this, you got to give me that. But the gift of God is free. The grace of God is free. This, again, might not be the most greatest revelation, but this is what people out in the world need to hear. This is what people out in the world need to hear. They need to hear that your sin was paid for at the cross of Calvary. They need to hear a gospel that's full of the cross of Jesus Christ. I fear that a generation is coming up with a crossless gospel. Man, you can go through, which if you watch TBN, I ain't got nothing against you. You watch all that, well, God bless you. I don't. First of all, I don't got television. Second of all, I don't like really watching TBN. But how far have we gotten from the gospel of Jesus Christ? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. My Bible tells me that at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. People that need to be delivered and that need to be healed don't need to hear your 7 golden keys to an abundant blessing. I don't know how much I can reiterate that. There's people in the streets that are dying, that are hungry, that are seeking something to change their life. And I want to make sure that when they hear about Jesus, they're able to walk free once they hear that name. Praise the Lord. Man, my mind's all over the place right now. But so he says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that God brings upon you, that knows that you are in right standing with God, that you no longer are estranged to the Lord, that you no longer are pushed away from God, but you have that understanding and that peace within your heart that everything is okay. And if God called your number in one moment, you would enter the gates of glory and see Jesus and see the Father. Then Paul begins to speak, and mostly all this comes out of the book of Revelation. Paul begins to speak, after you get, as salvation comes, justification. He made you right in front of God. He erased your sins such as if you didn't do it. Then there was reconciliation. God reunited himself to you. You no longer, as I said, are estranged. And that comes from Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Isn't it a beautiful thing that we no longer walk this world with no hope? We no longer walk this world without anything to turn to. I'm glad that when I have a problem, when I have a pain, when I have a hurt, when I need the Lord, I can call upon his name. And because I'm reconciled to Jesus Christ, the moment that I call upon his name, he hears me and he makes himself known to me and he appears to me in my prayer. And when I'm seeking the presence of God, he comes close to me because of the reconciliation that he gave to us by his son Jesus on the cross. What I'm trying to establish here is that all this basically defines our identity. Then you go to Romans, and he begins to speak about redemption. He begins to speak about how God, basically, you were slaves to the law of sin and death. Then you go, and he begins to speak about how, by the blood of Jesus Christ in Ephesians, he says, he predestined us to adoption as a son through Jesus Christ to himself, according to kind intention of his will. And then he says in verse 7 of Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Redemption is one easy term to remember. It means to buy back. To buy back. You were a slave. Let's take it back to the slave industry. You were a slave to the law of sin and death. But because of the blood of Jesus, he redeemed you. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Am I talking to a bunch of redeemed folk in this church or am I not? If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, that was payment. I no longer have to worry about this sinful flesh. Even though sometimes we as humans tend to fall, we no longer have to be bound. We no longer have to be bound to sin. We no longer have to feel as if I have no choice but to be overcome by my flesh, because we are no longer slaves to the law of sin and death. It was that song they were singing earlier. My chains are gone. I have been set free. There is no greater feeling than knowing that you are no longer bound by your sin. You are no longer bound by your iniquity. You are no longer bound by your guilt. That the sense of freedom is the greatest thing that a person can feel. We've all been there. The times when you lay down and you go to sleep. And you go to sleep in sin and you just feel the burden. You just feel the heaviness in your soul, the heaviness in your heart, knowing, God, where is my freedom? Why can I not find freedom from this certain circumstance? Then Jesus says, my blood was the payment for your sin. My blood was what brought you redemption. My blood is what gives you freedom. So we know that it's all about identity, and that's what basically makes up our identity. Jesus justified us. Jesus reconciled us to the Father by His blood. Jesus redeemed us. He regained possession of our souls by the payment of His blood. So then we go to what it is that God gave us power for. I'm the type of person, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I can't stand a victim mentality. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I hate the woe is me. Woe is me, Lord. Why am I the one that's always going through this, Lord? Why does the devil attack me every week? The devil's probably somewhere else in the Middle East or China messing with somebody else. And half the time it's your flesh. But when the enemy does happen to come into your life, we act like we're defenseless. We act like God hasn't given us anything to fight with. In Acts 1:8, he said, you shall be endued with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's all about position, church. If I understand my position in God, I understand the arsenal that God has given me to wage the war against the adversary. Being saved is not just about coming and sitting down in the church pew. It's not, salvation is not a plaque or a medal that you get to wear around your neck and walk around and just show people I'm saved. When you chose to follow Jesus Christ, you entered one of the oldest wars that's still going on to this day. It's a war that we're waging for the souls of humanity. And God has given us power to tread upon the serpent and the scorpion and over all the power of the enemy. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That means that whatever I curse in Jesus' name has to go. Every power, every authority, every dominion, every name that is named is subject to the name of Jesus. Whoo, the church needs to get back to power. It bothers me to see a church that walks powerless because they choose to. Because they choose to walk in another identity. To have that meant to walk, to see, how are people supposed to come to Jesus when his church is acting like the world? You have people that you work with that some of them are dealing with circumstances. Some of them are dealing with sickness. And they know you go to church. And they're like, well, pray for me. And if they see you with such a negative attitude. Woe is me. It's Monday. I hate my job. I hate my lunch. I got half a tank of gas in my car. Nothing's good's happening for me. My house is a wreck. Oh, but bless you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. No. No. We cannot win over the world. We cannot win over souls when we act like we're forced to walk with Jesus. Jesus is the best thing that's supposed to happen to you. At least in my eyes, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. I go through situations, I go through problems, I go through financial struggles, I go through issues as well, but every day I wake up and I say, God, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I don't know. God is a sovereign God. I don't know what I'm going by through this situation. But you know what? I'm going to take Jesus as my anchor. I'm going to put it down and I'm going to ride out this storm. Woo. My goodness. We got to return back to power. We got to return back to what the original meaning of Pentecost was. We got to. Through Jesus, another word for power is authority. Jesus knew who he was. He knew the authority the Father gave him. He said in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was the Savior of the world. He operated in this world under an authority that was heaven, from a heavenly realm. He understood that. So he understood his position. The Bible says that he gave the 70. He gave them the authority to tread upon the serpent and the scorpion. That happened before Pentecost. They received power and authority to walk with Jesus and to operate in his miracle power before Pentecost. And the Bible says that Jesus himself was tempted, and Jesus himself came in contact with the devil, who tried to question and cast doubt on what his identity was. If you go to the temptation of Jesus, the devil takes him to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And what did Jesus say? "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." He said, "It is written." He understood that he was able to battle him with the word. If that happened to Jesus, what do we think? Are we greater than him? Are we greater than him? Do we think that we will go through anything, that this is going to be a simple walk? It's not. If Jesus went through temptation and his identity was questioned, ours will too. And if we give up our identity, the enemy will have a heyday with us. So we need to understand the position and the power that God has given us. He has seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We have the ability to walk with power and with an anointing. I have the ability to go to my job, park, and I do this every morning. I park and I take over the atmosphere. You might call me crazy, but that's what I do. I love Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I got power. So I drive myself in my little Mitsubishi. I reverse and I pray for about 10 minutes. God, I rebuke every devil. I rebuke every spirit. I rebuke anything that is not of God in the name of Jesus. And I take over the atmosphere of my place of work, because that's the type of power that I have. That's the power that God has given me, to be able to declare the works of the Lord wherever I go, to be able to declare that my friends at work will be saved, that my job will experience awakening, that every time that I walk in, the presence of God walks with me. That's the position that I have placed myself in. I have adopted what God tells me in his word. So we get to the point, How in the world can I walk like that? People say, "Well, you know what? Read the Bible. Read the Bible." And we read the Bible, and we still don't accept it sometimes, because it just doesn't click up here. Then what do? We need to ask the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paracletos, the Advocate. Jesus said, the Father will send you a Counselor. And then what does he call him? The Spirit of Truth. He calls him the Spirit of Truth, and he tells him, he will remind you of everything that I've said. He will remind you of everything that I have done. He will remind you of the miracles that you saw. He will remind you of the things that I have said, the things that I have done, and you will begin to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit, because I did as well. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives, church. We are in need of God's presence, of God's glory in everything that we do and every way that we walk. If we want awakening, we're going to have to do it with the Spirit of God. That's what we need when it comes to awakening. When it comes to awakening to be established in this area, we understand that we need to walk in power and in demonstration. When Paul wrote in his epistle, he said, our gospel came to you in what? Power and in demonstration. It came backed up by the miracles of Jesus Christ, because the Lord understood that his disciples, that his church needed the power of the Holy Spirit to operate in signs and wonders to attest to what they had seen. We come to the position in Matthew chapter 16 in Caesarea Philippi. If you really study that, Caesarea Philippi was one of the most idolatrous areas in Judea. There was an area, there was like a cave that what was in the cave was like gaseous. It was like horror, but it would kill whatever went into the cave. And it was called the gates of hell. And it was known for the god of Pan. The god of Pan was worshipped in that area. So Jesus had to make his disciples understand who they were. So let's go to Matthew 16. Jesus says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's forward a little bit. He said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged the disciples that to tell no man that he was the Christ. He gave them position in the kingdom. What does having the keys mean? It means free access. It means free access to the kingdom of God. At any moment, at any time, under any circumstances, you have free access to the kingdom of God just because you're a follower of Christ. So we have to understand our position with the Lord. We understand what our identity is. When we understand what our identity is, we'll understand what position God has placed us in. And the position God has placed us in, there's nothing that we could have done by our own merit to be there. There's nothing more that we can do now to be in the position that we're at, because God saw it sufficient to place us in that position because he loved us, because of his son Jesus. The body church, the body of Christ, we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his heart. We are his mouthpiece. If we're to establish the kingdom of God on earth, it is up to us to walk in love, to walk in peace, to walk as God walked, to walk as Jesus walked, in power and in demonstration. So we ask the Holy Spirit to comfort us. We ask the Lord, come and remind me what you have spoken to me. Come and show me what you have done so I'm able to walk according to what you have called me to do. That's what we need to ask the Lord. And I mean, this might be a short sermon today, but I just feel that's what God wants us to remind ourselves. We need to ask the Lord, you know what, God, remind me. Show me. Tell me. Remind me who I am. Remind me where I was from. Sometimes, you know, I've always heard Justin and say it sometimes in preaching, God allows us in our walk with God, God allows us to have a rearview mirror in our car, in our walk with God. Not to focus on the past, but God gives us the opportunity to just glance once in a while to see where we came from. To see where we came from, where we were at, what we used to do, and to see the regenerating work of the Spirit of God. And what is that? That is the work that God did within your life the moment you got saved. We need to ask God to begin to do that whenever we preach the gospel, wherever we go. It's the regenerating work of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, that changed me from who I was to what I am today. And the good thing about it, he's constantly working in me. He's constantly trying to change me, trying to mold me into what God really wanted me to be, church. So I pray that today that God may just begin to touch your heart, to bring you back to the beginning. I know sometimes we go through situations that seem to be tough, and we don't understand why, and we just know that God is his sovereignty. He's a sovereign God, and he understands sometimes that we have to go through that. But in the times of suffering, in the times of distress, in the times where we go through situations where it seems that God is not with us, let us remember that we can walk in power. We can walk in demonstration. The fact that I'm going through something in my life does not mean that God loves me any less. That's the mentality that I see a lot. Oh, why am I going through this, Lord? You must hate me. God must be upset with me. Church, God pursues you. God is so overwhelmingly in love with you. He chases after you. Many of us have felt that knocking at our heart's door, where God just knocked and knocked and knocked and let me in. Even in times of distress, even in times where it feels like we're going through the wilderness, God still pursues his children. And I'm thankful for a God that is like that. God always desires to make himself known to his children. As I did my study, and when God is always trying to show us our identity, but he's always trying to show us who he is as well. He always chooses a place to show his identity to people. As I said earlier, it was for Moses in the cleft of the rock, where God made himself known as the Lord God. He made himself known as Jehovah. Jehovah is a relationship name. It means relation. Up to that moment, people in the Bible before Moses had only known God as Elohim, which means mighty God. He had only identified himself as his self-existence and self-sufficiency. But when he appeared to Moses in the cleft of the rock, he showed himself to him in the context of relationship. That's why you have Jehovah Jireh. That's why you have Jehovah Shalom. That's why you have Jehovah Sabaoth. His identity reflects who he is. That's why whenever Jesus came and he walked among this earth, God chose specific places for people to know his identity. For the Syrophoenician woman, for the Samaritan woman, it was at the well. For Mary and for Martha, it was at the tomb of Lazarus where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. For John the Revelator, once again, it was in the island of Patmos, where Jesus revealed himself as a mighty, mighty person, as the great I am. He revealed himself as the Almighty, as the faithful and the true. He revealed himself as the Word of God. So our identity, church, correlates to God's identity. Because we are one with Christ, the Bible says. So if we are one with Christ, we're able to operate in God's identity whenever we need it. That's why whenever we need a touch from the Lord, we ask, God, today I call upon your name as Jehovah Rapha. Lord, I need a healing in my life. God, I feel like I'm surrounded by my enemies, Lord. I feel like there's a spiritual attack coming upon me. God, today I call upon your name as Jehovah Sabaoth. You are the Lord of hosts. God, as you did it for the servant of Elijah, Lord, when you opened his eyes and he saw the armies of the living God in the mountains, Father, I pray you come to my defense in the same way. Hallelujah. God, reveal yourself to us in a matter that you've never revealed yourself to us before. He is a mighty God, church. Let us remember our identity. And let us call upon the name of the Lord and know his identity, just to be able to walk out our walk with him in the greatest possible way we can. I pray even today that God may just begin to reveal himself to you. Only you know what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. God knows that some of you might be going through financial difficulties. Some of you need healings. Some of you have unsaved loved ones that don't know the Lord, and you really would want God just to begin moving your life. Begin to call the name of the Lord as you need him, church. And I promise you, God will show up in such a mighty way. Let's get up on our feet and let's pray. I feel that I've released what God has given me. If somebody wants to come to the music, you can. I believe we just take a time just to pray. And ask God just to begin to reveal himself to us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love you have given us. God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I pray now in the name of Jesus, you begin to move. Father, let your spirit move. You know the needs, God. You know the circumstances, Father. You know what your people are going through, Lord. I pray they begin to understand, God, what their identity is, Lord. God, I pray you begin to remind them, Lord, of what their position is in you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. You are the counselor. I pray you begin to move up and down these rows, Lord. I pray you begin to remind your children, God, who they are in you, Lord. For those, God, that feel like they're not good enough, Lord, I pray that you begin to speak to their hearts, Lord. And to remind them that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, for those that are hurting, Lord, I pray you reveal yourself to them as a good shepherd, God. As comforter, Jesus. Father, to those that are going through hurt, Lord, we need you, Father, as healer. We need you as Jehovah Rapha. The Lord God, our healer, Lord. Father, for those who are in distress in their minds, God, who go through their lives full of stress and worry. For those, Lord, that don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, God, peace to you right now in Jesus' name. We thank you that you will begin to be Jehovah Shalom in their lives, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you will begin to do, Lord. Remind us, Lord, of who we are, God. Remind us, Lord, of the power that we have to operate in your kingdom, Jesus. Remind them, Lord, that you pursue them, God. That you chase after them, Jesus. I just want to open the altars just for a few moments. If you need a touch from God in any way, please don't leave this place without getting into his presence, without having God touch your life. If you're going through pain, through hurt, through any circumstance, through worry, through stress, through distress, I pray leave your burden before God's presence today. Don't leave this place the same way you came in.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. prayer.